Please turn again with me to John chapter 6 as we look at these verses together. The table that's spread in front of us is a wonderful testimony to God's goodness. And thank you for those who've helped to prepare this. But it shows us just the rich variety of food and good gifts that the Lord provides. I believe I'm right in saying that the building in which some of you would have worshipped on many occasions in Llandrindod Wells used to be a bakery. And I remember when I was a little boy, not in Llandrindod Wells, but in a little village where we lived in Somerset with my family, I used to walk to school each morning, and the shortcut that I would take took me along a little lane past a bakery. And early in the morning, the windows were open and you could just smell this delicious aroma of freshly baked bread. And it made me quite hungry each morning, even though I'd had my breakfast already. Well, this morning, as we consider these words of our Lord Jesus Christ, "I am the bread of life," my prayer, I trust our prayer, is that he would give to us a true appetite and a desire for those heavenly realities and for the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who is the bread of life, and that we might find our spiritual energies being aroused towards him. Jesus spoke in John 6, as we've read, these words there in verse 35. "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." This is one of seven famous "I am" sayings of the Lord Jesus in John's Gospel. And each one gives us another angle on who he is as the Son of God and the true Saviour. "I am the bread of life." What did he mean by that? Well, I think the first thing, surely, that he meant was that he is our daily bread. In other words, that he meets our needs from day to day. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," or "Give us day by day." That's the literal meaning. "Give us day by day our daily bread." And of course, bread there doesn't just mean a loaf. It means any kind of food or any necessities of life, all the things that we need from day to day. And Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, in his Sermon on the Mount, that if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things which the Father knows we need shall be added to us. So the Lord Jesus is the one, as our creator and the one who was there from the beginning, the one who sustains our lives, he is the one who can meet every need. There's a well-known story, perhaps you've heard this before, concerning George Muller, who about almost 200 years ago now did a very faithful work for the Lord in Bristol. He saw the many orphan children on the streets, and his heart went out to them, and he wanted to care for them and provide for them. And so he established various homes in Bristol to look after these children who had no one else to care for them. George Muller was a man of prayer, and he was a man of great faith, and he lived from day to day looking to the Lord for the provision for the needs of these children. There was one particular morning when they were all gathered around the breakfast table, and the bowls were on the table, but there was no food. The food supplies had run out. Well, George Muller did what he always did that morning. He stood up and he called upon God in prayer and thanksgiving, and he thanked the Lord for the food that he was about to provide. That was the kind of faith that he had. And with that, as soon as he spoke those words, there was a knock at the door. And when the door was opened, it was the baker standing there. And the baker said, "Mr. Muller, I couldn't sleep last night. I woke up about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I just felt this this heavy burden upon me that I had to get up and bake some bread for you and the children. And here it is." Well, how wonderfully the Lord had met that need. But no sooner had the baker gone on his way, there was another knock at the door. This time, when the door was opened, it was the milkman standing there on the doorstep. "Mr. Muller," he said, "the milk cart has broken down right outside your door. All this milk in these churns is going to go off unless you can make use of it. Can you use it? It's yours." "Well, thank you," he said, and gave thanks, of course, to the Lord for providing for those needs. That's one true story amongst many, and maybe you can tell stories of your own of how the Lord has met your needs at just the time that you needed him. How wonderfully the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God from heaven, can meet your needs day by day as you look to him and trust in him. But of course, it's not just our physical needs that the Lord is able to meet, but he is able to meet our spiritual needs as well. And as we look to him this morning, we pray that he might satisfy the longings of our souls. Do you feel this morning a hunger for the truth of God's word? Do you feel the need of forgiveness as we look back and remember our sins? And perhaps there are those particular issues in our lives and we regret and we failed the Lord in one way or another. And we need that sense of his forgiveness and his peace, which comes, of course, through the gift of Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. Perhaps we feel the need of joy this morning. Life can be tough. It can be difficult, and there can be many trials in this fallen world. But the Lord can help us by faith to look to him and to even rise above our circumstances so that there can be that underlying joy within all that we might be going through. And that hope of our eternal future, that hope which is found only and completely in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we see our spiritual needs this morning, do we call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to meet those needs as well? Because he says to you, "He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." He is the one who is able to satisfy those longings of our souls and to help us and to sustain us for all eternity. We need to receive him. We need to feed on him. In other words, to have faith in him and to hear his words to us today. I wonder, have you ever gone without food for a day or even more? Sometimes if we perhaps have an operation in hospital or some other medical procedure, we might have to go without food for a while. Sometimes we might choose to go without food so that we might pray for a time. But you know that sooner or later, unless you feed your body with good food and nourish yourself, that you could become ill and weak. And of course, eventually, without food and without water, we would die. But do we realize our great need of spiritual food each day of our lives? Hearing God's word. That's why we're here, isn't it? Because we sense that need and we look to the Lord to meet that need. But to come to his word each day in our own devotions and regularly as the Lord's people together, to feed upon the truth of Christ and personally to receive him into our hearts and into our lives as our own dear Saviour, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of him. Yes, he is our daily bread. But secondly, I think the Lord Jesus meant when he said, "I am the bread of life," that he is our heavenly bread. Our heavenly bread. How is it that the Lord Jesus can meet your deepest need and be your Saviour? It's because of who he is, and it's because of where he came from. He describes himself as the bread of life who came down from heaven. Let me read those words again. "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." And then he said in verse 32, "I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." We've mentioned already that these words come very soon after the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And yet how amazing it is that people should instantly be asking him to show them a sign from heaven. Many of the people in that crowd would have known their Old Testament scriptures. They were from a Jewish background, and some of them may have been leaders amongst the Jewish people. So they knew their scriptures. And Jesus reminds them of what they already know about Moses. And he says, "Moses did not give you the bread from heaven." They had been asking for a sign, and they'd been saying, "What sign will you give us that we may believe in you? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." So they knew their scriptures. But they were saying to the Lord Jesus, "Can you do better than Moses? Moses did that great miracle of manna, that bread-like substance that fed the children of Israel on their journeys through the desert. Can you do that? Not just once, but again and again, day after day after day." Now, of course, it wasn't Moses, was it, who performed that miracle? It was the Lord. And yet, Jesus has to teach them from the scriptures that they know or think they know so well that it wasn't Moses who gave them the bread from heaven. "But my Father," said Jesus, "God in heaven, is the one who gives you the true bread from heaven. And it's not physical manna in the wilderness, though that was a wonderful provision from the Lord. But the true bread from heaven," he says, "the bread of God, is he," you see, it's a person, "he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Jesus identifies himself as that bread of life, that bread who came down from heaven to give life to the world. In mentioning Moses, the people that he was speaking with would have known that Moses had been called by God to a great mission to save his people from the land of Egypt, where they'd been slaves for many years. And there in the land of Midian, in the mountains, the Lord had met with Moses at the burning bush. That, again, was a miracle. Moses was surprised that the leaves and the branches stayed green and they were alive. And yet the flames continued to burn. But the bush did not burn away. And it was a picture of the everlasting God, the giver of life, who gives eternal life. And he is the one who sustains our lives. He is the one who is eternal and self-existent. And as Moses met with the Lord there at the burning bush, he asked his name. What is your name, Lord? Who shall I say has sent me? What was the Lord's answer? I am who I am. He is the living God, the one who needs no one to sustain him. He is the eternal one. I am. And so now in John's Gospel, again and again, Jesus is saying, I am. In other words, I am the same Lord who spoke to Moses all those years ago from the burning bush. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door of the sheepfold. I am the true vine. I am the light of the world. Again and again, he underlines the fact that he is that same Lord and God who provides for all our needs and who came down from heaven to give life, eternal life, to all who would believe in him. Yes, it wasn't Moses that gave the bread from heaven, but it was God who sent his Son into the world so that we can have eternal life. A number of years ago, a famous astronaut came to a church mission on the seafront in Clevedon near Bristol, and I was living in that area and belonged to one of those churches involved. He's no longer living, actually. James Irwin was the name of that astronaut, and he was famous for being the first astronaut to drive a moon buggy on the surface of the moon. He was on the Apollo 15 mission in 1971. But he gave his testimony at that mission, and he had been so moved by the wonder of God's creation as he stood on the surface of the moon and looked out into space and saw planet Earth there in all its beauty. He was so moved by that experience that he vowed to live the rest of his life for Jesus Christ. And he said this once when he was being interviewed. He said, "You think that it's a great event for man to go to the moon. There's an even greater wonder," he said, "than that, that God should step onto our planet in the person of Jesus Christ." Do you know the one who has come down from heaven to this world to give life to all who will believe in him? God once sent manna from heaven, but do you believe in the man that he has sent from heaven to be your saviour and to give you everlasting life? Yes, he can meet our deepest need, your deepest need, because he is the bread of life, our heavenly bread. But then thirdly, I believe that the Lord Jesus meant when he spoke these words, "I am the bread of life," that he meant that he is our broken bread. Because as soon as he said, "I am the bread of life," he then immediately began speaking again about how he must die. A bit further on in the passage, in verse 51, he says, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." He's speaking there about his death, his forthcoming death on the cross. "My flesh," he says, "I shall give for the life of the world." And he's speaking there in those verses about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Of course, he doesn't mean literally. He's speaking metaphorically, symbolically. But the people were shocked, understandably. What does he mean? Eating his flesh, drinking his blood? What's this? Some kind of cannibalism? What's he speaking of? He didn't mean literally, but he meant to feed on him in the sense of believing in him and receiving the truth about him in a saving way. Just as we would take food and drink into our bodies, and we have a wonderful meal prepared afterwards, just as we take that food and drink into our bodies, and we chew it over and we digest that food so that it can give us goodness and nutrition and life and strength. In a spiritual sense, you must feed your soul upon the bread of life. You must receive the truth of who Jesus Christ is and believe upon him personally and look to him as your saviour and receive him into your heart and into your life as you live for him. In the Old Testament, bread was sometimes given as an offering to God. The show bread. It was placed on a special table in the place of worship, the tabernacle and later the temple. And every Sabbath day, new loaves were put out on that table. The Lord Jesus is identifying himself there as an offering to God. And he died at Passover time. That's very significant, isn't it? Because he is the one who gave his life as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Just as in the days of Moses, when God rescued his people from Egypt, a Passover lamb was killed for every household. That was the first Passover. And the lamb was killed, and the blood was painted up the sides of the door frame and across the top. Blood spilt upon the wood so that the people might be rescued from slavery and from death. And Jesus, the Lamb of God, was to give his life as that one perfect offering for sins. His blood was shed upon the wood so that he can rescue you from slavery to sin and from the slavery to the things of this world, and rescue you even from death and bring you into eternal life through trusting in him. That's why he came down from heaven into this world, so that he might give himself an offering for sins. So we can be saved from our sins and saved from death and brought into everlasting life. And when we partake of communion or the Lord's Supper, we remember that meal that Jesus shared with his disciples on the night before he was crucified, that Passover meal. And as we break the bread in remembrance of him, we're reminded of his broken body for us. And as we partake of that cup of wine poured out there for us, we're reminded of his blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. And as we partake of those elements, in a physical sense, something is going on spiritually. We're saying, in effect, Lord, this was for me. Thank you for doing this for me. As I receive this bread and this wine, I receive you as my Saviour and my Lord, and I trust in you. I live my life for you. Is that something that you can identify with and you know as a reality in your own life, that the bread of life was broken for us so that we might have eternal life in him by believing in his name? Because he says, unless we eat his flesh and drink his blood, in other words, unless we trust in him and receive him, there will be no eternal life. But as we rest in him, and as we look to him and feed upon him by faith, we know the reality of eternal life now and for always.